The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM Today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
When we reach over to flip the switch to turn on our lights, the expectation is that the power will be there instantly to meet our needs. But in many parts of the world, easy access to the energy needed to keep homes and businesses running is often absent. On this edition of UWM Today, we learn about a major project underway right here in Milwaukee that is designed to create smaller energy microgrids that could revolutionize the way that we access electricity. Joining us in the studio today is Adele Nasiri. Adele is professor of electrical engineering at UW-Milwaukee, and alongside him, Alan Perlstein, the executive director of the Midwest Energy Research Consortium, also located right here in Milwaukee. Welcome, gentlemen. Great to have you both on the program today, and we're going to begin by talking about this whole concept of microgrids. Adele, what is it? It sounds small, but it doesn't necessarily mean just a little bit of energy, does it?
A microgrid, you can define a microgrid as a cluster or a combination of energy generation sources, loads, energy storage, power conversion devices that can provide power to the loads within the system. So it can provide power load. It can provide power to its own load, but at the same time, it can connect to the utility system and can have interaction with the utility system. One specific feature of a microgrid is that it must be able to island itself, what we call island. It means that it disconnects from the grid and it can provide power by itself to its own loads. So this microgrid could be as small as a building, as a house, or could be as big as a city. Really, it could be an island, and it doesn't really have to be small. And what we are doing at UWM, we have started a project. It's gone back really more than a year ago. So the system that we have includes the components are solar PV, 100 kilowatt solar PV that we are installing right now. We have two natural gas generators, each one at 45 kilowatt. And then we have a wind turbine. We erected the wind turbine already, a 12 kilowatt wind turbine. And then we have two types of energy storage elements there. One is a zinc bromide battery, 50 kilowatt hour, 25 kilowatt, and we have another 120 kilowatt lithium ion battery system. And all of them are connected to a microgrid bus that we have through power conversion circuitry. And of course, we have controls and we have monitoring for all the devices. And at the same time, we have some passive and active load for the system that we want to simulate what would really happen in real time or in a real world when you have a microgrid and you have loads for the system.
And so the importance of that is to make sure that you have another way to access energy if, for example, the rest of the source feed went out, right?
Right. Actually, that's where it started. What I wanted to add was we are adding part of our university service and research building located on Capitol Drive, part of that building to our microgrid as an actual load. So that's what really is
important. So you're going to have a real-world test there.
Exactly.
So it sounds like a wonderful laboratory to go ahead and see how these systems can interact with each other and ultimately provide power.
Right. The concept you mentioned that it should provide power when the power is gone from the utility. The concept really started mainly from a military, where they were in parts of the world that there was no stable utility power and they wanted to have their own power, or there is no utility whatsoever, so they had to generate their own power. And then that concept now came to the commercial world, and now we want to have this on campuses. And at the same time, now we want to trade with utility. We don't want to be really island. We want to just kind of manage these systems and support the utility or get the support from the utility and so forth.
And that is where Ellen comes into this picture. Again, Ellen is Perlstein is executive director of the Midwest Energy Research Consortium, and this is a group made up of not only like researchers such as Adele, but companies interested in this technology. Welcome.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be working with Adele both on the microgrid project as well as on this interview. Midwest Energy Research Consortium is a public-private partnership made up of academic institutions like UW-Milwaukee, UW-Madison. There are 9 academic institutions as well as large industrial members. We have 80 members in total, all focused on the energy, power, and control space. We've helped fund 25 projects over the last 2.5 years, $2.5 million worth of research done with our academic members as well as industrial partners. And one of the projects we're very proud about is the funding we provided to UWM to support their microgrid project. What we like about it is it allows, as the world starts to evolve and macroeconomic conditions change, central generation of power gets augmented by distributed generation or microgrids. Adele described a microgrid as a form of distributed power generation off the central grid, if you will. Affordable natural gas, better sources of affordable solar PV, and new wind turbine technology and biofuels are all sources of generations of power that are in traditional microgrids. MWRC looks to fund UWM to complete its project on microgrid technology, as well as University of Wisconsin-Madison. And tough challenges to integrate these distributed sources of generation to the centralized grid are being assessed right here at UWM. The best way to go do research in our mind is to have the vision of industry tied into the vision of the academic community. Having the knowledge of the marketplace and what the tough challenges are allows the research to be focused, be able to be applied, and then hopefully to grow jobs and revenue in the region.
So why Milwaukee? Could this take place anywhere else? Or what is it about location that brings all of the universities and all of the companies together here?
Well, one of the unique characteristics about Wisconsin, there are 900 companies, 100,000 employees and $38 billion of revenue, all in the space that we call the energy, power, and control space. That includes companies that do power generation, companies that do transmission, distribution, automation, and control. We are the center of excellence of the country from an industrial base, and we have a rich academic environment that supports that. So MWRC started here. Looked around and said, boy, if you extend to the 8 states, you actually have 500,000 jobs in the energy, power, and control space. So this really is the bastion of strength and is actually the fastest growing industry in Wisconsin as we speak today.
I want to come back and talk more about those companies in a moment, but let me come back to Adele for just a moment. Adele, from an academic standpoint, was it difficult? Was it unusual for you to get this invitation to work with all of these companies, having worked in a university which sometimes tends to be siloed, you know, historically?
Right. Tom, even before MWRC was here, like I started at UWM about 9 years ago, and I started working with a lot of companies in the region. And those companies include really JCI, Johnson Controls, GE, E10, and so many others. And as Alan mentioned, there are so many companies in power conversion in this area. So, and there is a lot of need from them to work with academia. And, of course, we need support and to run our projects as well. So that worked. But when MWRC was formed, it really facilitated that effort. Now it's much easier to work with those companies, at least the companies which are member of MWORK.
So you don't have to go seeking out, knocking on every door. MWORK helps open those doors.
It actually made it really easy. Every time you go to their open member meeting, and there's so many companies, and you can see the people, and you can talk, and of course present ideas and discuss things. So that has made it much, much easier now.
Yeah. Ellen, from your standpoint, how do the companies view this relationship? Were they surprised when you began to help organize all of these 80-plus companies to come to the same table? Because some of them are competitors.
It's a collaborative environment where we actually create industry roadmaps, that look at where the market is going, outline for our members through a market survey and study that we actually sponsor and pay for, where the market will evolve for multiple technology focus areas over the next 5 years. We've done three roadmaps, and that really has excited the membership. We did one on distributed energy resources and systems, or microgrids. We did one on energy efficiency and one on energy storage. The results of the roadmaps show where the market's going to be. So microgrids will evolve from a $1 billion marketplace to a $3 billion marketplace in the next 5 years. With our technology and innovation subcommittee made up of academic members and principal engineers from our industrial partners, we then develop a technology roadmap, look at what research needs to be done, and actually invest our funds. We put in roughly $500,000 a year, sponsor 5 to 6 joint projects where an academic research fellow and his RAs, research assistants, will work directly with a principal engineer from a company and do a project that fills one of those gaps that allows that market vision of growing, in this case, distributed energy from $1 billion to $3 billion to happen.
So when a company says, Adele, we'd like you to work on this problem here, do they bring their engineers to the table also, or are you off at the university sort of working apart from the company?
If it's the project that we are doing with the company directly, it's not part of the MWORK project, that we really have to give, there are some projects I'm doing right now with company. I'm not sure if I can disclose the names, but they have weekly meetings. So every Wednesday we have meetings, and then we present, and then we get directions for those. There are some projects like we have with GE, we have project that I can disclose because it's from UWM Research Foundation. We meet quarterly, and then we present and get directions, of course, of what the direction is. And the projects which are through MWORK, I'm leading one project besides Microgrid, which is funded by MWORK, and that the topic is new architecture for electric power system. That is a combination of AC and DC systems, medium voltage DC, medium voltage AC, which is really what we feel the direction of the electric power distribution is going to be. And with that, there are company sponsors, and there are three companies which are there are company collaborations. There are three companies that are collaborating on that. Of course, we ask them for questions and if we want direction, and then we are going to present that on November 20th, and those companies come, and then again we talk about this, what we have done and where we are going to go from there.
So you end up sharing that information with right. the different members. How valuable is that sort of collaboration, Alan, from the standpoint of industry? Again, knowing that they're in the same space, but sometimes these companies bump up against each other when they're selling their services out in the marketplace.
The collaboration works extremely well on the pre-competitive research. We've structured the work that we do. So with the academic institutions, there's pre-competitive research that's sponsored where members each get access to that research, license-free, and to use for their specific applications. As they look at their own business models and decide, I want to drive my application this way, that then becomes company-sponsored research, and they do that independently on their own with their own IP and their own staffs. Collaboration happens through our open member meetings. It happens through our webinars and our research councils. We think that public-private partnership, where the vision of the marketplace driving where the curriculums are going, in electrical engineering and software engineering, drives what research is done. that gives the best bang for the buck in Wisconsin and the surrounding regions.
Is there anything like this elsewhere in the country?
We are unique in that we do research, both market research and technology innovation research. We also sponsor workforce development and talent training, public policy, and strategic collaboration. As far as we know, we're the only organization that has all five attributes, all those five missions. There are multiple organizations that have a research bent or a workforce development bent. Next Energy in Detroit has something of that nature, and groups out in California have that. But none that we know have the full complement of those five mission areas: market studies, innovation, workforce development, public policy, and strategic collaboration, our five mission areas.
It really is important then, given this big concentration of these companies in the energy, power, control sector located right here, that they have access to this common ground then to go ahead and share ideas, maybe figure out problems together.
Yeah, one of the things we laid out in our strategic plan, it was important to create a center of excellence. That was a focal point. And we were lucky enough to have a building that at one time was the old Eaton Research Campus become available. And now we're turning that into our Energy Innovation Accelerator. For those of you who might have seen, the state, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, granted a $900,000 grant to start to drive changes into that building so that we have both labs, startup incubator space, place for large companies to interface with academics, and transition new technologies into jobs and fulfill those roadmaps that we described.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio, Adele Nasiri. Adele is professor of electrical engineering at UW-Milwaukee, and with him, Alan Perlstein, the executive director of the Midwest Energy Research Consortium. And we're talking about the ways in which industries here in the Midwest are working closely with folks like Adele on the academic side to help figure out solutions to the problems that our society faces in terms of generating enough power and making sure the power is there when you actually need it. We began the program by talking about microgrids, and I want to come back to that for just a little bit, because Adele, you mentioned that this initiative that you and MWorks are involved in right now to figure out how to create these islands that can generate energy apart from and sometimes with the overall energy grid, all the big utilities working together. You mentioned that the Defense Department was one of the origins of this work. Why is that? Why did Defense see this as something that would be useful for their part of the world?
There are actually two big reasons. One is they always go into countries maybe that there is no utility power. If there is utility, it's really weak, and sometimes their access is limited to that utility power. So they have to generate their own power. And what you can do is you can put some generators and power your loads. So that could be easy, right? But the second issue is now that it comes to energy efficiency. You cannot transport a lot of fuel to the really hot zone areas. So what you need is you need to have some renewables, you need to have some storage, and you need to have some generation diesel-based or natural gas that then with all this you run your system efficiently. Microgrid can provide that structure that you actually have your system much more efficient. You can get even heat from your generators, and then you can heat your space, and that would be a CHP, combined heat and power unit.
So recycling, reusing every bit of energy that's
exactly
generated.
Can push your efficiency all the way above 90%. So that's impossible without that structure. And of course, when you have renewables, then you can have what they call it energy surety, and you can provide power to that system for long. So we were lucky; we were involved in a couple of those projects, and one of those actual microgrid systems that U.S. Army had, and we gained a lot of experience from there that we are transferring to our UWM microgrid project.
Is it conceivable that someday that homes could have microgrids? grids that you might be able to go ahead and sure. see folks generating mm-hmm. Power in sufficient amounts to unplug from the big grid?
You know, in my mind, there is no need to unplug from the grid. If you are net zero, if you can generate your own power, you don't have to unplug. So you don't really, because in the U.S., of course, the utility is very reliable. So, and microgrid will cost systems. So connecting to that utility just provides some level of assurance because they are reliable. And but microgrid here can add a lot of energy efficiency and cost saving for residential, commercial, campuses, and any of those type of loads.
Alan, you talked about the enormous market for this, the fact that we could be looking at a $3 billion industry around microgrids. Is that money that would be spent or come from the U.S. economy?
Sure. That's the North American marketplace.
That's just the North American Correct. Marketplace.
Global, it's qualitatively higher than that. You know, areas that we looked at, any utility or use that requires high reliability – there's concern about security or sustainability is a venue that's inappropriate for a distributed generation system or a microgrid. Hospitals, bases, campuses, all are areas that either have large sustainability requirements, reliability requirements, or even security requirements. So having an augmentation system like a microgrid aligned with centralized power from the utility, meets that mission, meets all those three areas of requirement.
You talked about the collaboration that occurs with the companies and the interest that they have in working with universities. Is that because more companies are doing less research on their own and they see value economically to work together? Or is it just that more minds more minds at the table are going to come up with better results?
I think there's three forms of research we're seeing that drive the marketplace. So there's internal research and development, historical things done by large companies. That continues to be a driver. Academic research, but academic research that's guided by the vision of the marketplace for the members is another big form of advancement. And then the third is startup companies. So being an entrepreneurial environment, having the universities spin off graduate students that say, I have a better way to go do something, and create a set of IP that could be accelerated into a good idea, incubated into a business that actually commercializes a product and creates a new set of outcomes with jobs, revenue, and products are the three ways we see research happening. MWork sponsors all three. We help startups get going. We align and link academic institutions with industry and hopefully leverage that combined research to accelerate innovation, technology, and growth.
The $900,000 grant that you got from state government just a couple of months ago through Wisconsin Economic Development Corp, I believe, right?
They were
one of the driving forces. How long before we see that investment begin to pay off?
Well, we're actually building out part of our energy innovation accelerator as we speak today. Our seventh floor south will actually start construction tomorrow. This is a major milestone. That first 8,000 square feet will be completely built out on December 18th. And there'll be a quiet little celebration that day, as well as a holiday party to go kick off that first round of what will eventually be 70,000 square feet of space that drives the vision of growth in the energy, power, and control space.
So those 80 companies that are part of this collaboration could have offices there, they could have scientists there?
You have a great example here at the campus at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee where Johnson Controls is co-located in a lab that they sponsored here in your engineering building. It really accelerates the way they do research on energy storage. We see similar opportunities of large companies co-locating in our Energy Innovation Center labs. We expect to have over 20,000 square feet of labs that I'm not prepared to announce who they'll be in, but hopefully in the upcoming months as we go through our build-out process and we start to make announcements, we'll be pleased to go talk more about that.
Adele, you must be salivating a little bit knowing that there's this new location that soon you and your colleagues in academia will be able to tap into, because space is at a premium on a lot of college campuses.
Right. Tom, we are in discussion with MWARC, actually not discussion really, we are working very closely, and UW-Madison, and there are three labs here. There is the UWM lab at the University Service and Research Building on Capitol Drive, very close to MWARC location. And there is MWARC lab that we are working right now, and then UW-Madison. So we are trying to just work these three labs together and have kind of not overlap on projects there, and everybody does complementary things. We are in discussion with Alan and his team on the lab and what projects from UWM can go there and what can from UWM go there. You know, we are lucky to hire two new professors at UWM that I forgot to mention, one in power electronics and one in power system. And now we have a stronger team that we want to work very closely with industry and, of course, the project that will go into MWARC Laboratory on Capitol Drive.
So that's the beauty of this, isn't it, Alan, where everybody sort of checks their guns at the door and they come in and they work together.
Yeah, one of the things that we're all pushing hard for is creating a network of capabilities across the state where you look at simulation and control technologies up at Madison, hardware technologies and microgrids here at the 200 kW level at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, with large demonstration capabilities of a megawatt to 3 megawatts down at the Energy Innovation Center on the 30th Street Industrial Corridor where MWARC is. That network of labs will go ahead and be available and help grow our industry partners and really continue to grow clean technology, clean energy, and leverage the strengths of what has historically been Wisconsin's Center of Excellence, Energy, Power, and Control.
And for the state's economy, that's a big win if you can keep those companies with all those jobs, all that payroll, not only located here, but see it grow.
Yep. That's the reason why the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation did their investment. They view the Energy Power Control Cluster, Water Technologies, the Global Water Center, and Food and Beverage as those three driver engines that will be making a difference for growth in Wisconsin.
Terrific. So, Adele, a year from now, you're going to have a microgrid up and operating at the level you want?
Certainly. That actually, I got to say firmly, certainly, that, you know, there has been some bumps on the road that we have had, but we are going through them. Everything is actually on the way. We have really very active site right now, and if you go there are a lot of people working and putting things together. So a year from now, actually by summer, hopefully we'll have the system operational.
Well, best of luck to you. We will come back and we'll check in a year and see how that project is going. And Alan, congratulations on the success in terms of getting the funding and now building out this fabulous center up on Capitol Drive.
A year from now, the Energy Innovation Center will also have its opening, and we'll be excited to go make that announcement.
Well, we will go ahead and we'll celebrate that back here on UWM Today. Congratulations to both of you for the work you're doing, and look forward to hearing about more of these successes in this multi-billion dollar industry that is so critical to the state's economy.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Adele Nasiri, Professor of Electrical Engineering at UWM, and Alan Perlstein, Executive Director of the Midwest Energy Research Consortium, otherwise known as MWARC, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We will see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.